Again tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A lot in this chapter. We looked at some of it this morning. We'll look a little bit more of it this evening. In verse number 1, Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." And then I want you to look down with me in verse number 15, and listen carefully to 13, I'm sorry, and listen carefully to what Paul says in this verse. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, "I believed, and therefore I have spoken," we also believe, and therefore speak. Now, Father, we thank you this evening that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves here before the Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight that you've given us the Word of God, that tonight you've given us the Spirit of the Lord. Father, tonight we pray that as we look tonight in your Word, that the Spirit of the Lord might take this particular message, apply it to our hearts and lives, and teach us things tonight. And tonight we might leave here with something to hold on to and to help us during the trials and temptations and troubles of life. And for all that you do, Lord, we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul in our text is basically talking about preaching. And he begins in the first verse of talking about how that he had received a ministry. He says in other places that he wasn't called by a denomination. He didn't choose this as a vocation, but he was called and sent by Jesus Christ. And Paul said he's received a ministry from the Lord Jesus Christ, and so he had renounced certain things, the hidden things of dishonesty. He didn't have any secrets in his life. He was honest and above board with everything that he did, not walking in craftiness. Paul was probably a pretty smart and intellectual individual, but he didn't walk around figuring out the best way to do things and how to please everybody. He didn't walk in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. That is, making it say what you want it to say. We see quite a many of those today who want to handle the Word of God deceitfully. I heard a preacher not long ago said that he was talking to a man, and he said, "I want to ask you a question." He said, "All right." He said, I lost my job, and I was having trouble paying my bills, and I was struggling, and I was turned the television on, and there was a preacher preaching, and he said if I'd send him $52, that the Lord would bless me, and everything would be okay. And he said, I sent him the $52, and I still hadn't got a job, and I'm still struggling. What about that? And I said, well, what'd you tell him? He said, I looked at him and said, God can't be bribed, especially for $52. But we see a lot of people who handle the Word of God deceitfully. They want to make it say something that it doesn't say this evening. But by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul said, I'm open and above board with everything that I do. And in verse 5, he said, we don't preach ourselves. We're not preaching ourselves. We're not building up ourselves. We're not trying to become popular and successful. But we preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. And then in verse number 13, he quotes that when David what David said in Psalms 116 in verse 10, when he says as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believed, and therefore speak. We speak and we preach not from this evening what somebody asked us to preach, but we preach today because we have believed the Lord, because we believe the Scripture, because we love the Lord and we want to preach Christ and Him crucified. And so the Lord tonight, I want you to just look at this with me very briefly about this Christ that we preach. A story goes that a young preacher had been repeatedly told that just preach the gospel and don't ever offend anybody. And one night he got up in church and he said, I've got a problem. He said, we have an infidel in our audience, so I can't preach on faith and confession. He said, one of our own brethren has come drunk and smelling like a brewery, so repentance is out. A Baptist has come, so I can't preach on the necessity of baptism for salvation. We have a Methodist present, so I can't preach on the action of baptism. A Christian Scientist is in the audience, so I can't even say I'm glad to be here, for he contends that my bodily presence is only a mental illusion. Does anyone have any suggestion for a topic on which the truth would not bother anyone? And the fellow said, well, I guess you can preach on the Jews. Ain't none of them here. But the truth of the matter tonight, it doesn't matter who's in the congregation, we still have to preach Christ. We still have to preach the word of the Lord. And Paul preached, he said, Christ. He preached Jesus Christ as a virgin-born Son of God. Tonight, without the virgin birth, we have no Savior. Without the virgin birth tonight, we are still lost and dead in our sins. Because the virgin birth was a necessity tonight to bring into this world a sacrificial Lamb of God that was perfect in every way tonight. That had not been tainted by the blood of Adam and had the blood of God flowing through his veins. And so this evening, and Paul, when he preached the virgin-born Son of God. He preached Christ as being virgin-born. Yet I find today in many places tonight, the virgin birth is laughed at and jeered at. And this evening in many of the Bible colleges and seminaries in our country tonight, they no longer believe in the virgin birth. But I want to tell you this evening, the Christ that we have to preach is the virgin-born Son of God. Paul preached him as having a virtuous life, that he never sinned, that Paul said in the book of Hebrews that he was without sin. Tonight we need to understand that Christ Jesus never sinned. Somebody said, could he? I don't really think he could have, but I'm not getting into a debate about that. But I can assure you of one thing, he didn't tonight. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He could not have been our Savior if he had ever sinned tonight. He had no sin. He died not for his own sins, but the sins of us this evening. I believe he died a vicarious death, that when he died for me, that he took my place upon the cross, that of all of the sins I ever committed this evening, Jesus Christ's blood paid the penalty for that sin. I believe tonight that he had a victorious resurrection, that he came out of the grave literally on the third day, that he talked and walked with his disciples, that he spoke with the women at the grave, that this evening that he virtually and he visibly ascended back into heaven, that one glorious day he's going to have a visible return and come back to this earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this evening. Paul said, we preach Christ. Charles Spurgeon said, if you don't preach Christ, you ought to stay home. And I think that's probably more true this evening than any other time. A professor told a student at Dallas Theological Seminary many years ago, he said, when you stand to preach, always preach something for them to hold on to. And he said, the only thing you can hold on to is Jesus. This evening, the greatest thing I can tell you to hold on to is Jesus. He'll never sink. He'll never fail. He'll never let you go. This evening, may I say to you, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. David said in Psalms 110, I believe that I've spoken. He talked about how the Lord had lifted him up, how that the Lord had did so much for him. And he said, I believe in the Lord, and so I want to testify. I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. I believed, and therefore I speak. And Paul said, I believe, and therefore I speak this evening. We should never, never, never tonight allow our convictions to be compromised this evening. We should always stand in for the truth of God. You see, we have to preach that Jesus saves. We also have to preach that Jesus only saves. You see, there's no two ways to heaven this evening. There's no three ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. Yet we live in a day and age when people tonight want to be tolerant of this and tolerant of that. I'm amazed at all of the flack that we're receiving in Afghanistan about the burning of the Koran. And I don't remember how many copies it were that were inadvertently, accidentally, whatever, burned by our troops when they were delivered to an incinerator to burn. And they burned them, and now they're having fits over there. Our president has apologized. Yet this evening they can burn the Bible, they can burn the American flag, but we never see any apology for that this evening. May I say to you this evening, I don't care if they burn every copy of the Koran tonight. I do not care tonight what they do with the Koran, but because the Koran tonight does not hold the revelation of life. It does not hold the truth of God. The Word of God tonight holds that, and it says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That there's no other way under heaven that whereby men might be saved except through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Jonah, as Jonah was commanded to go to Nineveh and proclaim there and preach to that great city, we know how that he rebelled against the Lord and decided that he'd head to Tarshish instead and got down in the ship, and a great storm arose and he was thrown overboard and swallowed by a whale. And in the midst of the whale's belly began to cry out unto God, and the Bible says that the fish vomited him out on dry land. And God said, now Jonah, I want you to do something. Let me tell you what I want you to do. Listen to what God said to Jonah as he vomited him out upon dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, this is what God said, Jonah, I want you to do. Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Not what you want to say, Jonah. Not what you might have learned in school, Jonah, but I want you to go to that great city. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach what I bid thee to preach. And Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Well, that'd be a long, long journey through a city. Take 3 days to go through the city. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried, and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, I can't imagine how it was maybe in those days, but Jonah went into this great city, and Nineveh was a very wicked city of its time, a very nefarious city. It was sinful and wicked and evil. Jonah gets in the middle of the city and says, I want to tell you, 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. The judgment of God is going to fall upon this city. Suppose we went to Amer, Mississippi tomorrow, or Aberdeen, or Columbus, or Tupelo, and we begin to preach the judgment of God is going to fall upon this city in 40 days. They'd classify us as a bunch of nuts. They'd tell us tonight that we need to get off of the city. We need to get out of there. But there's none of that going to happen because, and I can imagine all the other pastors that would be interviewed, all the other Christians that would be interviewed, so they're just way over there. They're far to the right. They're that right-wing group that believes the Bible to be literal. And nothing like that's going to happen. But you see, Jonah didn't pay any attention to that. God said, I want you to preach the preaching that I bid thee. What kind of preaching did God bid Jonah? The same thing he bids us today. You know, we live in a time when people want to smooth things according to Isaiah. They want to hear smooth things. They want to hear an articulate, educated individual get up and tell them smooth things. I don't mind using a little humor, and you know that, but I'm not a comedian tonight. I don't mind encouraging, but I'm not a cheerleader. I don't mind tonight giving you counseling, but I'm not a psychologist. I don't mind doing anything I can to help you this evening, but we need to understand that it's not about smooth things and telling people everything's always going to be all right, you see. But that's the kind of world in which we live today, and that's the kind of world in which people are honored. You know, one of the strange things today in the New Testament, Jesus said we better be careful when all men speak well of us. I heard a preacher say not long ago, he said, I wouldn't offend anybody for $1 million. I said, boy, I got you beat. I'd do it for nothing. Oh, listen to me. I wouldn't deliberately offend anybody. That's not what I'm saying. But you see, we have to preach the Word of God. We have to preach the preaching that God bids us this evening. But we live in a time when people want to hear smooth things. They want to know that, think everything's okay. There's a lot of churches this evening that are preaching those smooth things. And as I listen to some of it, I'm concerned about the people that are listening Sunday after Sunday. You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, when you go out and you make a proselyte, when you bring them into your sect, he said that you make them a twofold child of the devil. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, the most important thing is they do go to church. No, that's not the most important thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. Somebody said, how can it be a bad thing to go to church? If you go to a church that's not preaching Jesus, saved in the only way tonight, and you become a part of that congregation and you get all involved in that tonight, you become a twofold child of the devil. And it's a lot harder tonight to really win you to Christ because you think I'm all right and you've heard all these smooth things. Paul said that there'll come a time when they want to hear ear-tickling fables. They'll seek to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to be soothed. They don't want to be told the truth tonight. Brother Peter said, hey, we need to speak as the oracles of God this evening. You see, the preaching that I bid thee tonight is scripturally centered tonight. It's Christ-centered. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood and preached this evening to that same group that had crucified the Lord Jesus. And he said, you've crucified him. You're a group of murderers. He looked them eyeball to eyeball and accused them of murdering the Son of God. That's the kind of preaching we have to preach tonight, you see. I thought about it a long time, and, you know, people say, who crucified the Lord? Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans? Well, the Jews handed him over to the Romans, and the Romans were certainly the ones tonight who physically crucified the Lord. But, you know, in reality, we all crucified Christ tonight. Right. Because he died for us. You see, he died for us tonight. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood and preached. And he preached to that untoward generation. He preached tonight to that group of individuals who had crucified the Lord. And he preached Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life this evening. He talked about how awful sin was. You see, sin tonight is an awful disease upon mankind. People tonight don't want to hear about sin anymore, but sin is causing the rampages in our country tonight. We talked this morning about the aging of the body, and I told you, it's perishing, and it is. I thought on the way home, I forgot how perishing it was, but yesterday afternoon about dark, about, I don't know, between 5 and 6 o'clock, I got to noticing a bunch of buzzards. And they were flying over my house. I got to looking, and about 35 or 40 of them suckers were sitting out there in trees behind my house. And I said, y'all get out of here. I ain't dead yet. And I found out Ellis and Annette had one on their roof. They're perishing, amen? But listen to me. The reason we're perishing tonight is really sin tonight. You see, God didn't create us to die. God created us to live. But sin came in, and tonight every time you see an age spot, every time you feel a twinge of pain, every time tonight you pass by a cemetery or a funeral, you can say that it's sin tonight, and sin is causing the problems in our world tonight. It causes our body to deteriorate and to perish. It causes tonight crime, and it causes tonight the breakup of families. Everything tonight can be traced back to sin tonight. And we have to talk about sin, how awful tonight. Then there's always a demand for repentance. Paul said, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. Not just in the south, not just in the north, but God commandeth men everywhere to repent. God tonight demands repentance for our sins this evening. And so tonight, that's the preaching that God is saying that we have to do. We have to preach Christ as a Savior, Christ tonight as the only Savior. We have to preach tonight the judgment of God is going to fall, and the only way to avoid that judgment is by repentance and faith in Christ. We have to warn people about hell. Very seldom hear a sermon on hell anymore. But you know, hell is real tonight. Jesus warned about hell. Paul warned about hell. In the book of Revelation, as John the Revelator closes out the book of Revelation, listen to what some of the last words in the Word of God have to say tonight in Revelation chapter number 21. And listen to what it says. Listen to verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God closes out the Word of God and He warns people about a place called hell. He warns about a lake filled with fire and brimstone. And He begins to name people who will be there. Boy, when you read that list, it becomes tonight a very shocking list when you begin to read it this evening. And you've noticed the people of hell tonight who are going to populate that awful, terrible place this evening. The unbelieving, the fearful, they're going to have their place with murderers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars and whoremongers this evening. Fighting Bob Jones used to be a, not Fighting Bob Jones, I'm sorry, Fighting Bob Shuler used to be a pastor and out in California. And one evening he and one of the deacons were visiting, and they went down into one of the real bad sections, and they were there among the drunkards and the thieves and the drugs, and they were there for a particular purpose. And as they were leaving, this deacon looked at Fighting Bob, and he said, well, that's a horrible place to look at, isn't it? He said, yes, and your granddaughter's going to spend a lot of time with them. And he said, what do you mean? He said, she's never professed Christ. If she doesn't profess Christ, she's going to spend an eternity with them tonight. That's sad to say, but tonight it doesn't matter who we are. Our pedigree doesn't matter. Do we believe in Christ tonight? Right. Hell tonight is reserved for people that reject and the Lord Jesus this evening. You know, Paul said that God's going to come bringing fiery vengeance upon this world with those who reject the gospel. Listen to what he said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 7 through 9. Well, this is, you know, when you begin to read what the punishment of God is this evening, listen to what it said. Listen to verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. I want to tell you tonight, hell is a real place this evening. Do we believe in hell? Yes, I believe in hell, but we have to preach it tonight. Hell is hot. Hell is horrible. Hell tonight is reserved for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to talk about heaven. Well, that's a wonderful thing tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
Thank God tonight the Bible says that God has prepared a place for them that love him. Thank God tonight Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am there you can be also. I'm glad tonight that there's a better place in this life. And I want to point men to the grace and the glory of God. I want to point men tonight and let them know that there's a place that God has prepared for them that's more wonderful than I could ever describe. You know, sometimes you may be going on a vacation and you think about all the beautiful things you can see. One of these days I'm going to heaven and I read in the Word of God about many of the things of heaven, but, you know, it still doesn't touch the beauty of heaven. It doesn't touch tonight what God has done for us this evening. I'm glad tonight I can preach to men that hell is hot, but heaven is sweet. I'm glad I can preach Jesus Christ tonight invites all. I'm glad tonight he says, whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. I don't preach a limited Christ. I preach an unlimited Christ, a Christ tonight who can save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He saves us forever if we're willing to come unto God by him. That's the Christ tonight, Paul said, I preach. That's the Christ tonight this church preaches. That's the Christ tonight that this world needs to hear about. What a glorious, wonderful Redeemer and Savior we have this evening.
Amen.
Let us never, never be ashamed of the gospel of the Son of God, but always stand for our convictions of the truth of the Word of God. All right, if you'll stand with me, Brother Briefby and Barbara, and come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen.